It's hard to have a home poker game without playing cards, and there is a difference. Top Pair is proud to feature and recommend J-Design cards. Made of durable plastic, the right thickness for easy shuffling and dealing, plus a unique look with a pip placement, artistic backs, striking face cards, and a huge variety of colors. Give your home game players something to talk about by playing with the distinctive J-Design cards. Check the Top Pair homepage, toppair.net, for a link, or go to classicplayingcards.com and order yours today.
CardsChat.com is a friendly online poker forum where over 120,000 players from around the world gather to discuss poker. Want to improve your game? CardsChat has strategy discussion forums for cash games and tournaments. Want to practice playing online? Cards Chat has special monthly events that all members can participate in and over $8,000 in monthly free rolls for qualified members of the forum. Cards Chat also has the most up-to-date industry news to keep you abreast of what's happening in the world of, you guessed it, poker. You can also find Cards Chat on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+. Go to cardschat.com. Or click the link on the homepage of the Top Pair podcast, toppair.net. It's free. Do it today.
Welcome to Top Pair. Tales, tips, and discussions from two veterans of the poker home game scene. Without further ado, here are your hosts.
Things are heating up at the Top Pair Home Game Poker Podcast. Our new sponsors are on board, and we've received an industry acknowledgement that makes us very proud. We can't wait to tell you about it. We're also excited to have a special guest for this episode. Alan Chainsaw Kessler is here to talk about his tournament successes, his start in poker, and how he has become a prominent voice advocating balanced tournament structures and sensible rules. We found his background and perspectives to be absolutely fascinating, and we think you'll really enjoy what he has to say and be likely to discuss it all with your buddies during your next home game. Lots of ground to cover, so let's get right to it by asking,
hey, how you running? Beats, suckouts, triumphs, and tragedies from last week's home game play.
Well, Robbie, it looks like you're running pretty good. You had a brand new poker suit on in a little posting that you put on Facebook. I know you probably don't acknowledge the Halloween holiday over there in Israel like we do here in the States, but it seemed like it was great timing that you came up with that suit, not only to commemorate the event of your dad's birthday, but looked like a good trick-or-treating costume. And that holiday, Halloween, we just barely passed that.
Right. Well, let's say I might not acknowledge it, but the timing was not accidental.
Oh, okay.
you could say that. Yeah, it was a pretty cool thing. I guess a couple months ago, I saw it. I don't remember exactly how I saw this, but I saw it online. And I saw this suit, and I was like, oh, my God, that's the coolest thing. I got to have it, right? I don't know when I'm going to wear it or whatever, but I got to have it. So I got in touch with them. It's a company called Oppo Suits. It's not like a poker company. It's actually a suit company. And they make a whole bunch of different kinds of suits. They make, an actual, Halloween-themed suit, a Christmas-themed suit, a poker suit, a snow suit, a whole bunch of different kinds of funky designs and everything. So I saw this poker suit and I said, hey, listen, I've got this blog, and I've got, a good amount of people coming per month, a good few thousand people. And, would you perhaps be interested in doing a little partnership thing whereby, you'd send me the suit for free? And, I made the whole full disclaimer there. They really did. It was pretty cool. They sent me a suit for free. And I say, I'll write about it. And, I had this idea. Okay, I'll just show up. To unannounced, nobody knew about it. I only told my wife and my kids when the suit came in the mail that I had the suits, and I'm just going to walk in, for my dad's birthday poker game, and just see how they react. And I'll have the camera on, and I think that'll be a really cool thing to include in this post. So yeah, I got a free suit, so you can't really be running better than that. And a lot of people seemed interested. A lot of people have been telling me like, oh my God, that's the coolest thing ever. And here we don't have Halloween. We do have a different holiday called Purim, which is around the March time, and I'll be wearing it for that. Everyone also gets dressed in costumes and stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty classy looking. I wouldn't wouldn't wear it to a job interview or to go get a mortgage from a bank or anything like that. But We actually posted it on the Top Pair Facebook page, so you can click on that and see the background and your little video on there, and we'll put a link to it on our homepage too. And I think it's just great, you know. Definitely would be an attention getter and definitely spark a conversation as far as people. But the poker face suit, I think, is what you call this, with homage to the Lady Gaga song.
I guess, right. That's their name for it. But, I mean, yeah. I didn't get it. I didn't do the whole thing just for the free suit. You know, I really, as I wrote in the post, you know, I believe that sort of thing, it makes people smile. It makes people laugh and talk. And, you know, that's the core of poker. It's supposed to be something which is fun and exciting. And I think that's, you know, everyone seems to, you know, people who like the game and, you know, are advocates of the game, they want the game to grow. They want to maintain the fun. And I really feel that this was something that would just add another level of smile and happiness. And, more people ought to do it, I think. It's a fun, cool thing to do.
Yeah, particularly in the home game venue. Yeah. I mean, I think that's where the fun starts. I mean, we've been publicizing and watching some of the poker shows, the Poker Night in America, and I know that there's a few outfits on there that
Tom Schneider,
mm-hmm. and Gavin Smith and that have had that mm-hmm. kind of outlandish coats and things like that. So yeah, it's all in good fun. So anyway, our listeners, you'll get a chuckle out of that. And tell us what you think about it when you look at it. If that's something you'd wear, or if there's something, you know, corny or quirky you've done at a home game, we'd love to hear from you at feedback@toppair.net.
And of course, we're always happy to hear from you on social media as well, on Twitter @toppair, as well as on the Top Pair Home Game Poker Podcast Facebook page.
Well, as we kind of alluded to last week in our podcast, we're really thrilled to have a couple of sponsors on board after our 5-year history. Some folks that we've run across that think that the listeners that we have and the audience that we've reached and you loyal folks that have joined us every week would be interested in the products they have to offer. So one of the first ones is a company that actually is CigarsForMe.com. And they are exactly what they say, a company that sells premium cigars. And they've kind of got a unique approach. I've never really been a smoker, but I do enjoy a good cigar once in a while. But when I first started, fairly recently, probably within the last 10 years, smoking one once in a while, I was totally lost about, you know, what I should do and what I should pick and, you know, is it more expensive necessarily mean a better cigar or a higher quality? And CigarsForMe.com has got a real innovative way to do it. They give you a short little 5-question it's not really a test, but sort of a survey where they can drill down into your preferences as far as, you know, mild or, you know, flavored or what kind of taste you'd like and things like that. And at the end of that test, they can come up with suggestions for you. And so even if you're a seasoned cigar smoker, this might broaden your horizon and say, well, if I like this, it's kind of like the Netflix, you know, they based upon the movies you select, they come up and say, well, if you like those movies, you'd really like this, and the same for Cigars for Me. So we encourage you, you know, to go to their site, CigarsForMe.com, take that little short 5-question survey, see what they offer, what they recommend. And they've got a discount going right now. I think it's 15% discount if you enter in the phrase Top Pair. So that saves you a little bit of money, and there's free shipping on any orders over $100. So check them out, CigarsForMe.com. Kind of a fun, and we appreciate their coming on board with us.
Yep. And, taking things somewhat back to the tables, to the poker tables, our other sponsor that's come on board is called Cards Chat. They're at cardschat.com. And, like you said, you know, if you're just like if you're a fan, you want to take it to the next level, the same, you know, same for poker. If you're a fan of poker, you listen to this Top Pair Home Game Poker Podcast and you read about it, you watch it on TV, you want to take it to one more level, visit Cards Chat. It's a really good site. It's known as primarily a poker forum. That's where I became acquainted with them. I've known them for, you know, a good while already. And I've worked with them in the past on my Card Player Lifestyle blog. And they've got, you know, I guess many, many tens of thousands, maybe even over 120,000 members who participate in the forums. And they talk about all sorts of things. I mean, everyone's just really, really nice. It really is, you know, when you think of a utopian poker community, you know, when you wanted to discuss anything, not get too into the nitty gritty necessarily of, you know, percentages and that sort of thing, but more of like experiences at the poker table, at the online poker table, and, you know, or even away from the felt, you know, the poker lifestyle types of things. You'll find it at Cards Chat. You know, you'll room reviews if when you go and play on a poker trip to Las Vegas or to another poker mecca or something. That's a good place to find, you know, good information, find people who you could connect to, who share your interest in the game. And on top of that, they also have a pretty darn good news section that they've started recently. Some really good reporting on the tournament scene and, you know, what's going on in the poker world. And the bottom line is it's the kind of place where, you know, if you're a home game poker player, if you're a fan of the game, I think, you know, you could really benefit from visiting this, cardschat.com. And, you know, just as with our other sponsor, we want to thank them very much for signing up with us and becoming a sponsor of the podcast.
Yeah, and I think in addition to all those other things, which are great, they also do like some free rolls in that too that you can participate in that actually have some pretty good prizes. So they kind of got all the bases covered.
Yeah, 100%. So, you know, beyond our sponsors, something else, as we alluded to in the synopsis in the beginning, something else pretty darn cool happened for us here at the Top Pair Home Game Poker Podcast. We were recognized as a top gambling podcast, and we kid you not, by a site called CasinoAffiliatePrograms.com. They are pretty well known in the online gambling industry. Who they are, basically, if you think about online poker and online casinos and stuff, this is a sort of umbrella organization where affiliates, these are websites who try to draw you in with good content and stuff, good traffic, and send you off to like this poker room or that poker room with special offers. Casino Affiliate Programs is sort of like this the umbrella organization that I wouldn't say oversees them all, but it's you know, very well respected in the online gambling industry, and they have also a very good blog. I think they come out with daily content, one or two stories a day, and some very interesting tips in terms of how to run a good site, that sort of thing. And they had an article out there, like the top gambling podcast, and I visit the site all the time, and then all of a sudden I see number 5, Top Pair Home Game Poker Podcast. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's really cool, you know.
It was thrilling. I mean, you have to smile a little bit because we're such hard advocates here of saying, poker isn't gambling. It's a game of skill. It's not a game of chance. And now we're recognized as a gambling podcast, but that's, the recognition is nice to be in the casino, genre because casinos have poker rooms and things like that. Mm-hmm. So, it's great. They said some kind words about us. They really kind of, bought the same line that we bought as far as wanting to appeal to that kind of audience and knowing how vast it is out there and right. How many good people are out there just playing poker every week. And that's home game is their venue to do that.
Yeah. And, you know, like you said, you know, whatever you're recognized for, it's nice to be recognized, you know, if the tree falls in the forest, it's good to know that someone's listening, you know, so it's really cool. And, you know, big shout out to, the Casino Affiliate Programs team, you know, I've worked with them before. I've written a couple articles for them and, you know, and they've looked at my blog and, you know, and the content type of marketing that I do. It's a really good organization. I encourage everyone to go and, check it out. It's a cool site. And again, really, thank you very, very much for the recognition.
Yeah, we'll definitely put a link on the homepage and the notes to this particular episode, so you can find them and also find the listing of those podcasts. We've got some pretty good company that were in there. I wasn't familiar with a lot of them. I know the 2+2 is one that they've singled out, and mm-hmm. it's an honor to be even mentioned in the same breath of them. They're kind of like the granddaddy of a lot of the poker podcasts.
So. Oh, 100%. And, you know, the bottom line is it's really motivating. You get recognition like that, you know, you got to perform well. And hopefully our listeners keep on enjoying it and we'll, you know, be able to attract some good guests and, you know, keep talking about some good home game poker topics. So after a quick word from our sponsors, we'll get to that. We'll welcome our guest for this episode, Alan Chainsaw Kessler.
Where can you find over 120,000 enthusiastic, friendly poker players ready to answer any poker question you have and willing to share their extensive experience and knowledge with you? At cardschat.com. And the best part, it's available for free. Cards Chat also has a comprehensive strategy section to help you improve your game with hundreds of tips and examples, reviews of card rooms all over the globe, and the latest news and events from the poker world. Learn how to qualify for exclusive promotions, free roll tournaments that could put thousands of dollars in your pocket, and private members' game. Visit cardschat.com to join the friendliest place to talk about poker. CardsChat.com, or click the link on the homepage of the Top Pair podcast, toppair.net.
Interested in cigars but don't know how to choose the right one? Don't worry, CigarsForMe.com is here to help. Simply answer 5 quick questions and you'll instantly be shown the premium cigars you're guaranteed to love. No previous cigar knowledge is necessary. First-time customers save an extra 15% with promo code TOPPAIR. And, as always, all orders over $100 ship free. That's cigars, FORME.com, and promo code TOPPAIR for 15% off your first order.
Hey, look who we found hanging around. Let's get a mic for him and see what he has to say.
So we're lucky enough to have a wonderful guest with us this week, Alan Kessler. He's known as the Chainsaw. He, as per his Twitter description, he travels the circuit playing at the World Series of Poker, circuit events, World Poker Tour, and Heartland Poker Tour events, the HPT. He's got 3 WSOP circuit rings and is currently in the lead, Heartland Poker Tour Player of the Year. Welcome to the show, Alan.
Yeah, thanks for having me on your show.
Pleasure.
Yeah, we're glad to have you. You're quite the name in poker right now. I've been watching. I haven't watched in the past, but this year I started watching Heartland Poker, and you've been a pretty good presence on there.
Yeah, I made 4 final tables in 1 year, and I didn't do very well on those final tables, but just my consistency got me the Player of the Year there. I started playing those events like in the middle of the year and just was really successful at them. And somehow I just kept moving up. And by the end of the year, I had taken over the lead of the Player of the Year, which was kind of exciting.
Wow, that's great. Congratulations.
Are those your favorite events to play at the Heartland Poker Tour, or you prefer a different tour?
Yeah, no, I like there's two circuits that I've kind of latched onto recently because I like to go to, like, different places that I haven't been, like these different cities where they have, you know, like clusters of casinos that I've never been to. And that would be Heartland Poker Tour and the Mid-States Poker Tour.
Mm-hmm.
They're both, like I just was at a place I'd never been to before called Firekeepers, where they had 518 people show up for a Mid-States Poker Tournament, which those are 1K buy-ins. The Heartland,
wow.
Heartland ones are 1,600 buy-ins.
Mm-hmm.
But, The Mid-States one, I basically set up their structures, and I've been helping them promote their tournaments, and they've been really successful, like, over the past year or so. They've really gotten pretty big.
Wow. Now, are they televised at all? I know the Heartland is. We have to look around for a little bit.
Basically, they do they have the RFID set up like the World Series. So they have a 15-minute delay and they do live stream only. They don't have a television show. But the ones that I go to, I do the commentary on. If I'm not there, then they have other people doing the commentary.
Wow, that's great.
The Heartland, they have an amazing setup. I mean, if you saw the camera crew and stuff, you'd say, wow, you know, this looks like a very small production. But by the time it comes on television, it looks just like any other poker show. So for the amount of staff that they have there, you would never believe that it's a full-blown poker television show. So they do an amazing job also.
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed him. So
very cool. Well, you're nicknamed the Chainsaw. For those of us who don't know, I don't know myself. How did you get that nickname? Who gave it to you? You know, why do you keep that nickname?
Well, it originally started in like 2007 at Foxwoods,
mm-hmm.
and there's a dispute over that. There's a thread on 2+2 about it, actually. But there was one particular player that had started calling me that. And at that time, the there was a really popular radio show called Poker Road that had like Gavin Smith and Joe Seebach and Ali Najad and a few other people. And they had a thing where they would play chainsaw music, and they would talk about my play, like just weird comments about my play or things like that. So either Gavin Smith is the one that came up with it, or this random dealer player at Foxwoods. But it happened during a Foxwoods event in 2007.
Interesting. You like the name?
Yeah, it's kind of like when I go somewhere, people don't even call me by my name. A lot of people just say chainsaw, or they like, or they say chain or whatever, or even saw, whatever. But they have a thing on Dunktown Radio where they call it the chainsaw check-in, where they'll call me sometime and ask me what I'm doing. And it's kind of caught on. So
now you say chainsaw music. Is that actually a rock group then, or I'm probably
out
of that?
No, it's just the chainsaw, like the sound of the chainsaw. Like the,
oh, okay.
It's like, you know, so, whatever that sound is a chainsaw makes.
So it doesn't have to do with your proclivity towards cutting through all the competition?
No, it was kind of a joke. It was the opposite of that, because I've kind of opened my game a little bit more, but back then I was playing super, super tight, and they were saying, you know, like he's cutting through the, like I made a few final tables and if I, you know, in Foxwoods, WPTs. And, it just, they were saying how I cut through the field and whatever. And it was kind of a joke at that point, but now it's kind of caught on.
Your style was kind of the opposite.
It was an opposite joke, right?
Right. Well, you know, you do play in all sorts of tournaments, you know, besides Hold'em, like mixed games and stuff like that. And you know, I've read that, you know, you started your poker career playing cash games before you transitioned, to the tournaments. I mean, do you still play cash games regularly? You know, like what's your breakdown in terms of how you play tournaments, cash, which ones, what stakes?
No, basically I don't play much cash at all unless if I'm at a place like the Commerce, where they have cash games that I like, and I'm playing in a tournament there, and then I might play some cash games. But other than that, it's like when I'm in Vegas, I almost never ever play in a cash game because I'm usually pretty busy setting up to travel, and like almost any given weekend I'm traveling somewhere, and I play a lot in the casinos locally here for, you know, slots and different promotions and things. So it's really hard for me to play in a cash game. And plus the fact that the cash games have become mostly like a draw game fest. And I prefer mostly like limit Omaha high low, limit stud eight or better, maybe one triple draw game. But other than Commerce and also at Borgata, when I'm there for like a week or so, I might play in those cash games because that's where I grew up and they still play the games that I like there. So. Like I'll play 5100 or 3060 mixed games there sometimes, but I used to play much bigger in cash games. I used to play years and years ago 100 200, which is considered very very high mixed game at the Taj Mahal every single weekend. So it just it has to be a game that suits me and where I know the players and the games that I like. Like at the Borgata, when I'm there, if the game exactly fits what I like, I will get on the list, but it's really hard to get into those games usually. So other than Borgata and Commerce, it's a very rare event that I play in a cash game.
And you prefer limit games then to the pot limit or the no limit?
Yeah, I definitely prefer limit games. I've done really well in those tournaments. I've won horse tournaments multiple times, Omaha High Low tournaments multiple times. I've played those games for years and years, so I'm really experienced in those games. I just played in Omaha High Low at the Chicago one, and I final tabled that, which was nice. So, I mean, even though it's like only a 150-person tournament, it's still nice to get to the final table and those kind of things. And I lost a few really big hands at the end. I mean, you have to, at the end of those tournaments, everybody has like between 10 and 15 blinds, so you have to win some of those hands.
I mean,
to be kind of a crapshoot.
Right. Well, doing, you know, basically tournaments, essentially, I mean, that obviously comes with a lot of variance. So, And how do you temper that?
Well, I play a lot of tournaments, and I travel to places where I like to go. So, like, if I was just traveling to play some of these tournaments and doing it for like a career, I probably wouldn't want to do that, because there's a lot of expenses. If you know, right. You have hotels, you have airfare, you have food, but I have found a way where I can go places where I'm comfortable and where I can get free rooms and free food, and I do it something that I enjoy. If it was like a business, I don't think I could actually do it, because like even going to something like that Chicago tournament where I just came from, where there's 1,200 players in the main event, mm-hmm. You know, you're still paying for a room and you're paying for travel to Chicago. You're paying for a rental car. You're paying very, very high juice in these tournaments now. I mean, they were charging 145 plus 55 in one of the tournaments.
Wow.
There. I mean, there's crazy, crazy juice right now. So there's very, very few people that can just play tournaments for a living. You have to have something else going for you. If that's all you're going to do is like travel around and play like the circuit $300 events, it's really, really difficult for anybody to make a living doing that. But, I try to play a little bit higher buy-ins, like $1,000 is like the minimum, up to bigger ones. And I try to go places where I'm not going to have much expenses, where, I'm going to get a free room, free food. Maybe they pick up my airfare places like that. So right. That it becomes a much, much, you know, better prospect.
Well, looking at some of your Twitter videos and things like that, it looks like one of your sidelines you've got to kind of supplement your poker winnings is video poker. How did you get into that? And is that something you just do to blow off steam, or have you actually got that figured out where you can be a profitable video poker player?
The problem is with video poker, basically the best game you would ever find is around 99%. But mm-hmm. The thing is, if you consistently play video poker and, you're playing, you know, reasonably set games, and you're playing them well, that you're going to earn comps and you're going to earn different perks and things, and it's going to help you cover a lot of your expenses. But you know, you have to also fade the variance in that also. I mean, I've lost thousands, you know, just sitting down to play video poker, and you can also win thousands. But you have to have bankroll to do any of these things. I mean, you're not just going to say, well, this video poker machine is close to 100%. If I play for 2 hours, I'm going to break even. It's not going to happen like that. Sometimes right. You're going to win. Sometimes you're going to lose. But in the long run, if you can get, you know, a lot of benefits from the casino, if you can get some free airfare, maybe some free play or free food or whatever, it's like a way to help, you know, even out your expenses. And for me, I found that if I do both things, like if I'm playing in a tournament and playing, you know, machines and different things, that sometimes I'll do well in the tournaments and lose in the machines, and other times it seems like I do well in the machines and lose in the tournaments, and it kind of offsets each other, and it gives me it gives me something else to fall back on, like some other thing. Like a lot of these tournaments are like Jacksonville Best Bet or Daytona Beach Kennel Club, and they don't have anything else for me to do there, so it's much less likely that I would go to a place like that, where I'm going to fly all the way to Jacksonville just to play in a tournament and have nothing else to do whatsoever once I get there. There's not going to be any cash games for me. There's not going to be anything for me to do there other than play in this tournament. I mean, it's a good prospect to go, but I like to have something else to fall back on.
That's really interesting. I mean, you don't really hear that from too many pros. They're always like, okay, I'll play the tournaments and, you know, be there for the series, and that's it. And that's interesting to hear that there's a real method to it.
I try to go somewhere. Like, there's an upcoming tournament they have an MSPT double stack tournament coming up in Blackhawk. And I had a choice between playing that or going to Stratosphere or going to Venetian. But I can go to Venetian or Stratosphere anytime. I live right here in Vegas.
Right.
So those two are not that appealing. And plus, the fields in Vegas are ridiculous. I mean, it's all people that I know. They're really, really tough tournaments. Mm-hmm. So I can go to Blackhawk, where I have I've played many, many times in Blackhawk, you know, different HPTs and MSPTs, and they had a circuit event there where I won a ring. I'm very comfortable in Blackhawk. The level of play is much, much softer, and I get everything covered once I get to Blackhawk. I have free rooms already built up. There's machines that I like there. The hotels are really nice. So it's like a vacation where I'm playing a tournament, but I'm not paying for anything besides the tournament value.
Right,
I'm getting my room covered, my food covered. The airfare is ridiculously cheap to go to Denver if you buy it early. So it's like, why wouldn't I go to Black Hawk over something? You know, but if it was somewhere like Daytona Beach Kennel Club for some other tournament, that wouldn't even interest me because if I go there, I'm just trapped there. I'm just going there to play the tournament and I have nothing else to do.
Yep. Makes sense.
So that's basically the whole idea behind playing the machines. And I,
for sure. Yep. I mean, that makes a lot of sense. You know, the next question I got, you know, I had no idea what the answer would be. And now after hearing your other answers, I think I have an idea, but I'm going to ask you anyway. You know, the name Alan Kessler in poker circles has over time become, you know, like synonymous with really strong opinions about structure and complaints about structure, that sort of thing. I mean, you're known to be, you know, pretty particular about those things. And, you know, if you're known about it, it's clearly like it stands out. Not too many other people seem to be so particular about structure. Why is it so important to you? You know, how do you feel about this being your reputation, you know?
Well, the thing is, if you're traveling consistently to some of these tournaments, you get to really see what goes on and you know, what value there is in different tournaments. And by you know, standing up for the players and saying, you know, well, this tournament is such a better value than this other tournament, it actually makes people change for the better for the players. And I've been like a proponent of better structures, and even like Matt Savage, who had really, really crappy limit structures years ago, and I just blasted him over and over and over again. Basically, like, I'll give you an example. Like, you would go there, say it would be a $400 Omaha high-low. Now, the one I just played in Chicago was fine. We had like 10,000 or 12,000 chips, and I call it the 10-bet wall in limit tournaments. How many levels do you have to play where the average stack is 10 bets? That's a crucial element in any limit tournament, the 10-bet wall. Now, in Matt Savage's tournaments years ago, you can look this up, you would get 6,000 chips, and within 2 hours, you could be at 3 and 600. So you'd hit the 10-bet wall in 2 hours. And I just blasted him on this, and he's telling me how great it is, that it's deeper at the end, and I proved that it wasn't deeper at the end, whatever. Anyway, finally, after years of blasting him, he has gone to a much better deal where you don't hit the 10-bet wall for like 4 or 5 hours now. So even someone like Matt Savage, who consistently rips me that I don't know anything about structures, has actually ceded to some of my requests. But actually, there's been a lot of other places where I actually go. Like, I've been at the Venetian a few times, or at it happened once in Reno or a few other places where I'll go during the tournament. I'll walk up to the tournament director and say, listen, you know, this structure skips whatever level at this point of the time, and that's a really important part of the tournament. And they'll say, you know what? You're right. We're going to add that level, and I'll make an announcement.
Wow.
That's happened to me at least 5 or 6 times. But also, like, prior to a tournament, if I look at something and I see that it doesn't look right, I'll put out a Twitter message to somebody, and I'll say, you know, you're charging this amount and your levels are too short, or you're skipping 250, 500, or you're skipping 2,500, 5,000, which is another common one of those. And, it's really, you know, not a good value. And they'll say, come back to me and they'll say, well, what do I have to do to make this structure chainsaw approved, with quotes around it? And I'll say, well, if you change this and this, and then they'll do it. It's happened, you know, probably in the last year, maybe 50 times like that, because I've gotten so famous over this stuff. You know, like, the whole HPT started, you know, I was on a radio show ripping them, and I started going to their tournaments, and they didn't even have $25 chips. You would play 100, 100, 1, 2, 2, 4, 3, 6. That was the levels. And I talked to the people there. I was at the tournaments, and I said, listen, you know, I know that that you're trying to get this through in 3 days, but there's better ways to do this. So they had me work it out, I worked out a thing for them, and basically what happened was I set up a tournament for them, the new structure. Daniel Grande was asked to set up something also. His was slightly different than what we had already used mine for like two events. It was very successful. Anyway, they wanted to get his name on it, so they used his structure with slightly modifications to mine, and they've done phenomenally well since then. The same thing happened at MSPT. I went to one of their events in Baton Rouge. I'm playing, and they had like a 50-minute structure, but they were skipping like three or four levels of, you know, every so often they would skip a level. And I said, I'm sitting there playing, and I'm talking to Brian Molesky, who's, I've never been to one of their events before. And I said, Brian, I can see why you're getting a bad rap on the social media with this tournament. I mean, it's a $1,000 buy-in, and you're skipping really important levels. He said, yeah, but we have to finish it in 2 days, and we're skipping the levels just to make sure we get it done in 2 days. And I said to him, well, you know, there's a way you can do this in 2 days and still play all the levels. He said, well, if you write that out for me, I'll try and figure out how to do that. So I write it out on paper while I'm playing in the tournament. And literally three tournaments after that, they have on their website that they're going to a chainsaw-approved structure. Okay. And their numbers have gone up like 30% since then.
Wow.
Like if you go to their website...
Have you thought of trademarking?
Yeah, if you go to their website, every one of their structures says either Alan Kessler approved or changed. I forget what it says, but I mean, basically, the whole idea behind what I like to have, a reasonable amount of play throughout the tournament. Now, there's some of these tournaments, like they had the $5,000 Hard Rock one that didn't make the guarantee.
Oh, there's Seminole. Yeah.
Yeah, they decided to use the WPT structure, which is 75 minutes on day one for $3,500. They decided to use that structure, but only give you 40-minute levels on day one. So what happens is you're playing way more levels on day one, and you're getting to a much deeper part of the tournament at 40-minute levels. So the average stack tends to get worse and worse. And what happens is the better players have money to re-enter for $5,000 over and over again. But the weaker players are in on a satellite and have only one shot and are playing against like seven Justin Bonomos or seven Vanessa Selps or whatever and have no shot. And if you look at the end game of that tournament the last 2 years, it's all the superstars of poker.
Right. It's funny that I never thought of it like there's a reason for it,
Yeah, but
if it's structure-related.
No, what I like are tournaments that start out deep and are deep throughout. The Borgata is known for doing that. There's a few other venues that do that. And like the Borgata, they won't even use the WPT structure, which is a little bit more aggressive with antes. And like they'll play 15,000 ante, 5,100,000 at the end. I mean, that's kind of crazy at a final table to go to $15,000 antes. But that's just one example. Like some of these WPT structures are so fast, like they'll have extra juice on the antes. Like they'll go to like 75 to 5,500, which only the certain tournaments that do that. But there's no reason to do that. Borgata uses one of the best structures there is. And if you look at any point of those tournaments throughout, it's always super deep. So that whole argument that if we push people through with shorter levels and all that, it's going to be deeper at the end. It's been proven false many, many times. I've had arguments with Matt Savage over this countless times. Like he forces people through these levels at like 40 minutes or slower levels, and it doesn't help you at the end. It's a crapshoot at the end anyway. So, I mean, if you play deep throughout, it stays deep throughout. So that's what I like. I like tournaments like that at the Borgata, the Colorado Poker Championship. They run a 50,000 chip tournament with our levels. It's one of the best tournaments there is. And I dragged some people there, and one of my friends, Rex Klinkscales, won the tournament. He said, wow, this is one of the best tournaments I've ever played in. He said, I can't believe you're promoting this online because you're going to get all these really good players to come out and play. And I said, yeah, but I mean, if people are going to, put these tournaments out that are phenomenal like this, I want to let people know about it so that, other people do the same thing. So it's basically I know I rambled for a while, but it's basically I want a good value for the players, and I don't want something where you're going to wind up with 10 or 15 big bets, or you're like the Bellagio, where they have unlimited reentry in the $10,000 buy-in. I don't care what the structure is. That's a bad setup, because it's something that affects the lower buy-in players, is not good for poker. So I just like deep structures throughout. I don't like anything that benefits deep pockets. Like, they had a quantum reload thing at the Pike a few months back, where you could buy into day two for $10,000. I created a whole internet storm over that, and cost them probably 100 players, because I said, this is ridiculous. You're stopping, you know, the average Joe from wanting to play a satellite to get in the tournament, when he knocks out somebody, and that same person just buys in the next day for 10,000 and has an average stack. That's totally ridiculous. So, I mean, in general, if something is good for poker, I promote it. If it's bad for poker, I put my 2 cents in and try and get them to change it. So
it's interesting, because you get the chainsaw approval. Like you said, you're becoming more popular and famous for it.
Yeah,
but
if you Google
clearly
that term,
you have chainsaw, some pull.
Yeah, if you Google that term, you'll see there's lots of tournament directors try and get that on their tournament. Like
it'll attract more players.
Matt Glantz was setting up the Parks Big Stack. Mm-hmm. Who do you think he came to help him with that? We were sitting at Borgata once in the food court. He said, we're trying to work on this thing called the Parks Big Stack.
Right.
And we sat down and we wrote it out. It was like a 3-day tournament, and that's been phenomenally successful. And then this last summer, Planet Hollywood, they had a really crappy tournament set up. And there's a thread on 2+2 about how bad it is. Mm-hmm. And I chimed in on there. I said, you know, if you let me work out this structure a little bit, I can fix it for you, and this will be a really big success. And if you lower your rake. So they lowered their rake, they used my structure, and it was the most popular tournament of the entire summer. They never even had held a tournament before, and it became the number one tournament this summer, because everywhere I went during the World Series, people would say, wow, I can't believe that you got Planet Hollywood to do that. That structure is amazing. It's like the best tournament I've ever played. And people were just flocking there. They had thousands of, it was just amazing. They went from never even running a poker tournament before to the number one venue in the summer, this past summer during the World Series. Just because they listened to me, and they went with a reasonably good structure for a good buy-in. They lowered the rake. It was just, everything. So and they're advertising recently, like people are asking them, are you using that structure from the summer, the chainsaw approved structure? And they said, you know, they're actually putting it on their Twitter. If you look at their Twitter, they just had this famous series, PHAMOUS, and they say, yeah, we're using the chainsaw approved structure from the summer. And that, you know, proved to be a success again. So
very cool.
That's great. And boy, I learned something today, that 10 big blind wall.
The 10 big blind wall and limit tournaments.
Quick and easy,
all you have to
quick
do is you look,
way,
at the,
yeah.
you look at the number of chips you get.
Yeah.
And you see what level has 10 big blinds. So, for example, in the in this one we just played at Chicago, we got 10,000 chips to start, and we started like 5,100. Even though there were 30-minute levels, by the time you reach 500, 1,000, you're several, you know, think about it, how many levels you have to play before you get to the 10-bet wall. But eventually, at the end, everybody has 10 bets. But my whole argument with Matt over that, he would have the 10-bet wall at 2 hours, and he would say, well, people will bust or get out. And I said, yeah, but why am I playing one hand for my tournament life 2 hours into the tournament, when even if we're at the 10-bet wall 6 hours in, I may have a big stack build up by then. It's completely different. And we argued about this for years. But the further away from the beginning the 10-bet wall is, the more chance the player has to build up chips so that they have 25 or 30 bets versus other people that have 7 or 8 bets. That's my whole theory on the 10-bet wall, which nobody can dispute that. The further away the 10-bet wall is, you're going to get to 10 bets no matter what in any limit tournament. But the further away it is from the beginning of the tournament, the better it is for the players. Nobody can dispute that.
Yeah, you've made a convert out of me, so keep up the good fight. That's great.
Well, the Top Pair Home Game Poker Podcast, we call it that because we've got a focus on home games. So we got to ask, have you ever played in home games? With who? Any sort of background like that?
That's basically where I started. When I was in college many years ago, we had we called it the Monday night game. And our Monday night game was all high-low games. And it would be like crazy type games. Like it would be like you'd have an L flop, you'd have three flops, you'd have seven card high low where you could replace your last card for a certain amount of money. But basically, all those games that I played for years and years in that Monday night game got me started to going to Atlantic City and playing seven card stud high low and Omaha high low. Like so I had a lot more experience than most people when they finally did open up those games in Atlantic City. I mean, in the beginning, they didn't have those. They had like seven stud high. They had limit Omaha high. They had limit hold'em. And eventually we got into the mixed games in Atlantic City. That's where I met Phil Ivey and Cindy Violet and John Hennigan. All these people were playing in these mixed games. And from there, I went up to going to Vegas eventually, like in 2000 or so. But home games, basically only that one home game we would play, sometimes even more than once a week. I played that game probably for a year, 10 years or so, where we had our own games that we had, set up, like different variations of high-low. And basically that got me interested in playing mixed games. So I'm really appreciative of that.
And you started that, you say, in college, or were you younger when you started that? Or
no, around college age, yeah. And, but mostly with people I worked with, and then we got into, like, sometimes you'd be playing in two different games a week, because one of the people in our regular game had a friend that had a game, and it was a similar type game. And it was, nearly all always mixed games. Everybody liked, and in our mixed games, the six low was the best low instead of a wheel. And you also had to put put a coin in your hand. For high would one coin, low would be zero coins, and both would be two coins. So if you had a low board, and you don't think anybody else is going low, and even if you bricked out, you would play to the last card because you would just declare low and nobody would go against you most of the time. So there's a little bit, some different strategy to it. And also, if you went both and didn't win, then the other people would win the pot. So if you went both, you had to be really sure that you were going to win both.
For sure.
Yeah. That's great. That's
kind of a weird game. That game actually, it really schooled me on the different hand values and the mixed games, and it really helped me a lot. So,
yeah. Well, we, like I say, we preach that home games are kind of the core of the poker industry, that a lot of people got their start, or a lot of people, that's where they play because they're not close to
the one good thing about the home game was, is we would all put up some money for food in the beginning, and that was it. There was no rake. There was no nothing.
Right.
So, you're not really spending a lot of, you're not giving a lot of money to the house. You're learning a lot. You're socializing. You're watching the Monday night football game. It's a fun thing. So anybody that wants to play a home game, I think it's a great idea.
So home games, what you're saying, are chainsaw approved, right?
Yeah. Especially when you're not playing a tournament. You're just playing a cash game with friends. It's a nice way to socialize.
No rake or no tips or anything like that, right?
Right. I mean, you're playing with house chips, so it's really hard for someone to cheat. I mean,
Yeah. Well, super. Well, Alan, we appreciate you taking the time to visit with us today. You've given us some good insight, and it's been great getting to know you. And, I know you're busy today, and I know, in fact, when talking off air, you said you're headed to the Caribbean at the end of the week. So we appreciate you squeezing us in. Before we let you go, is there anything else you'd like to talk to our listeners or tell our listeners about?
Yeah. I mean, There's some really good events coming up that I'm going to. My schedule basically, after I'm going to the Caribbean, and after that I'm going to a tournament at Meskwaki Casino. It's a really small casino in Des Moines, Iowa. That's a mid-stage poker tour tournament with $1,000 buy-in and $100,000 for first. Nice. And after that, I'm going to one of my favorite venues, which is Black Hawk, which is actually a double stack MSDT, where they're going to give you, not double, but almost double. They're going to give you 30,000 chips instead of 20 with a really good structure. It's in Black Hawk, Colorado. And the last time they ran this, they got close to a $500,000 prize pool with a $1,000 buy-in. So if people have not been to Black Hawk, it's one of the best venues ever to play poker. I would suggest they go to that website, msdtpoker.com. They have the schedule. There's some prelims. There's like four starting days. It starts on the Thursday, the second week of November. Really good tournament. So I'm going to that. And then after that, I'm going to one of my favorite venues, which is the HPT Colorado Championship in Soaring Eagle, Michigan. That's a little bit tricky to get to. You have to fly to either Saginaw or Flint, but that's mm-hmm. that tournament is also a really, really well-structured tournament. You get 30,000 chips every level. It's a nice tournament. Probably it's going to be nationally televised. But my next plan coming up. And if people want to check out my Facebook, it's just Alan Kessler on Facebook or Twitter. If they want to check out my structure that I set up for the MSDT, they can go to msdtpoker.com. It's a really nice structure for a two-day tournament.
All right, great. Well, we'll put a few of those links on the homepage for this episode so people can click in and maybe join you on Facebook so they can keep up to date and see those structures. And we definitely, again, appreciate you taking time and visiting with us. It's been insightful, and we wish you good luck in the upcoming tournaments. Sounds like you got a pretty full plate.
Yeah, all right. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, I'm actually pretty busy until the New Year's.
Very all right. Well, good super. Luck to you. Good, nice to meet
thanks
you,
again. All the action players love to straddle to raise the stakes, but that term can have more than one definition.
One outer.
Well, Robbie, as we've said before, as I've said before, most of the stuff that I play with, or most of the home games I play in, are cash games here in the Salt Lake area. And the one thing that people love to do, especially the action players, and I'm not one of those, I'm more of the nitty player, but especially the action players, they love to straddle. Mm-hmm. They love to, you know, raise the stakes and put that straddle on to suddenly making the come-ins and the pots that much bigger. You see that a lot on the cash games on TV too, that the pros are in. So one game that's a pretty regular game that I play in on Friday nights, a husband and wife hosted, and they're both poker players, and they're both kind in that to accommodate it. The wife, Vera, is a native of Russia. In fact, she's only been here in the U.S., I think probably for 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. So we always go around, and they always kind of needle me because they know I never do straddle. So it's like, you want to straddle, Bruce? Come on, it's your turn. Put the straddle on. And I always say no. But this time, in honor of Vera, I looked at her and said, "Nit." Nit, which is no in Russian.
Yes, and, right.
one of the other players poked up and said, "Geez, I wonder what straddle is in Russian." Of course, Chucky, being the jokester he is, without missing a term, said, "Pokey pokey."
Have you always had an interest in cigars but didn't want to randomly go through hundreds of choices trying to find something to your liking? Are you a cigar smoker who wants to expand your options without burning up a lot of time and money experimenting? CigarsForMe.com provides a quick and simple 5-question quiz that allows you to zero in on the premium cigars you're sure to enjoy. Take the guesswork out of the process and discover cigar options that will become your favorites. New customers save an extra 15% by using the promo code TOPPAIR. Plus, you can take advantage of free shipping on orders of over $100. It's easy to remember, cigarsforme.com, and the promo code TOPPAIR for 15% off your first order.
Seat open, table one. Hey, wait a sec. I know this guy. He sat on my left yesterday. Ah, I wish I remember how he played.
You should have taken notes.
Oh, come on. I'm not bringing a notebook to the table. I'll look like a fish.
You don't have to. There's an app for that. Poker Notes Live. Notice a tell? Want to keep track of your live poker sessions? Use the Poker Notes Live app to tag and classify your opponents. Record your wins and losses and improve your overall performance at the poker table. Poker Notes Live. Get it now on Google Play and the App Store. Don't ante up without it. Brought to you by CardPlayerLifestyle.com.
All the cards have been dealt for this episode of Top Pair. We hope you found it informative, thought-provoking, and entertaining. Please plan to join for our next installment. For a more in-depth look at the Top Pair podcast, including access to past episodes, topics to be covered in the future, and links to our information mentioned, log on to our website at www.toppair.net. Just a reminder that we love your input. Contact us via email, feedback@toppair.net, or leave us a recorded shout-out on our listener line, 206-339-7401. After all, we're not right all the time, just 99%. The Top Pair theme music is provided by Josh Woodward. Check it out at www.joshwoodward.com.